This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Okay, praise God. We're in Galatians chapter 3 this morning. We left off 2 weeks ago with the Apostle Paul's monumental, earth-shattering teaching that the Old Testament law has an expiration date on it, just like a carton of milk does. Let me read this text to you. It's a late addition to the handout. You'll see it handwritten. Hebrews chapter 8, which says this. Starting in verse 7, it says, "For if the new covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second one. Because finding fault with them," he says, "behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them will teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord.' For they all will know me, from the least to the greatest. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more." Well, praise God. What do you think about that? That's good news. Apparently, according to the Word of God, God has got amnesia with your sins. Is there anyone else other than me happy about that?
Yes.
The only problem is we don't. We never let them go. We remember all these wrongs that someone did us when Eisenhower was president. God doesn't remember them, but I'm not done. He said, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Verse 13, Hebrews 8:13, in that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. That's your Old Testament. It has no power and authority over you today. According to the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, this mystery Christian, he says, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Poof. Now, with that truth in mind, let's pick it up. Chapter 3, verse 24, the book of Galatians. See, this is why Paul writes what he writes when he says in verse 24, therefore the law was, not is. Not anymore. These days are gone. The law was, it said. This old gavel is put away for good. Listen to what Paul wrote in the Bible. The law was our tutor to bring us to Jesus Christ so that we might be justified by faith. And there's no other way to be justified other than by faith. This gavel, I get a laugh with all you people visiting because I only use it for good in this church. That's to show you a little bit. I can imagine what God's gavel must look like up in heaven. And the Bible says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God takes his proverbial gavel and talk about being at the fair. He hits that thing down there and wham, up it goes. Bell goes flying halfway to Utah. That's what God does over your soul when you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Anytime you read in the Bible, justified, that means God has officially and legally, mind you, he's legally declared you not guilty and has written your name in the book of life. And he's got amnesia with your sins. That's good news. Oh, I'm excited now. I can't help it. I love Sundays. Or any day that I read that. I just can't help it. People say, why are you so excited? Why am I so excited? I'll tell you why. Because God doesn't remember the sins that I've committed. Now that excites this old boy. Maybe some of you came to Christ at 2 years old. And the worst you ever did was spill milk on your mother's carpet. I wasn't one of those kids. I've done worse than spill milk on my mother's carpet. I made my mother endure me for 18 years. That's why I come in here and get excited. Jesus said, those that have been forgiven of much, love much. And those that have been forgiven of little, love little. And I'm here to tell you today that if you confess your sins and turn from them, the Word of God says he doesn't remember them anymore. And that's good news, church. To walk out these doors here, 2022, and God not remembering what you did. He says it. That's not just my hope or wishful thinking. The Word of God says it. We stand on that. Ought to make you go on out here and do good to your neighbor. I'm sorry, that was Sunday school this morning. It's the truth, nevertheless. After all that God's done for you, how could you not go and do likewise to someone that's hurt you? Okay, therefore, the law was our tutor. Greek word, paida. Paida is the Greek word for child. Agogo is the word for a teacher or an instructor. When it says tutor, or if you have an old King James Version Bible and it says schoolmaster, that was someone, an adult, that was in charge of a child up until they hit the age their father set, that they were to be set free and they were old enough to conduct themselves in this world. So when you read tutor or schoolmaster, understand what the word means. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Jesus Christ so that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Now, this was a monumental move of God. Still to this day, it's resisted. It's resisted because it's misunderstood. It's resisted because you can't take credit for it. God done the work. God did the work. Sorry. I'm moitering the King's English. Curly. Let's go through this slow. The law, that is the first five books of Moses contained in the Old Testament, that God gave to Moses, the law was, point number two, that is the Old Testament law was temporary. It has an expiration date attached to it, which is why we find the word until here in this passage. Hebrews 8 uses the word obsolete, talking about the law. Number three, the law was our teacher, schoolmaster, instructor. Point number four, the law for the believer dead ends at the cross. That's as far as the law can take you, to the foot of the cross. And then you run smack dab right into the face of Jesus Christ, and you've got to make a decision. Will you live under the law, or you receive Jesus Christ? We read in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, that a Christian is no longer under the law. We just read it. The law had a purpose. The purpose of the law, the book of rules, was to have you get on your knees and cry out and say, I can't do this. I need help. I'm a sinner in need of your grace. I can't do this. Paul said, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? That's the purpose of the law. It can't save you. It condemns you. Paul calls it a ministry of death. James said, if you break one itsy bitsy teeny weeny little part of it, you're guilty of the whole thing. Enter in, Son of God, who Paul wrote about and says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Sorry, we might run a little late here today. This is supposed to be a short sermon because we got communion. Ain't gonna happen. Lastly, point number five there, those who receive God's pardon are declared not guilty due to their faith. And that makes us sons and daughters of God. Count me in too, Carol. Verse 26, for you are all sons of God through your faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you, verse 27, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now that's not water he's referring to. He's talking to the work of the Holy Spirit here, baptized into Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. As many of us as been baptized into Christ. How does that go again? I think 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Let's read it. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That's the verse I was thinking of. So this is Spirit baptism he's talking about. As many as you as were baptized into Christ. The Holy Spirit's done that work. Okay. Verse 28. For there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So now your name could be Liam O'Reilly or Salvador Damiano or Warren Bloomstein. You're of the seed of Abraham or the spiritual offering of Abraham. You are a believer of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who or what you are or where you come from. You are a spiritual offspring of Abraham. And not only that, Paul tells us in verse 29 that not only do we belong to Christ, besides, this blows away the Ginzu knife out of the water. But wait, there's more. Not only do we belong to Christ, you and I are heirs of God. Now he's going to build on that here in chapter 4. This is some great stuff we're learning today, isn't it? From the Apostle Paul. I mean, imagine you just received a letter from a heavenly law firm. Imagine that, getting a letter in the mail from Jehovah and Son. Attorneys at law. I'm tired of the IRS ones. I want one from Jehovah and Son. Attorneys at law, address would be number 1 Gold Street. Heaven. Dear so-and-so, we would like to inform you that you have been designated as a beneficiary to inhabit a possession from the creator of the universe. And since the testator cannot die, that will be open upon your arrival. He's not going to die. He can't wait for him to die to open that will. Bible says, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men that which God has prepared for those that love him. You're going to have to die to find that out. But he says, you are an heir of God. Paul put it this way in Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. That is, he'll let you know on the inside that we are children of God, and if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, but he's not done. Look at the prerequisite. Joint heirs with Christ if we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. See, that comes, that's conditional. Suffering is part of the faith. Amen to that? My treasury of scripture knowledge tells me not to forget this verse either. Romans 3:21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. That's Jesus talking. He continues, as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And this verse, Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. Who would you rather inherit from? Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner, and Ziggy? Or Jehovah? See, this is why Paul said, you people don't have a clue what's waiting on the other side. We did a service for Sheila's husband a couple months ago. He's not waiting anymore. We've done a couple services in here. They've reached the other side. And they can now receive their inheritance. All you and I have to do is cross the finish line in faith. That's what's required of us. Believe in Jesus Christ with all your heart. Hold on to him. Cross the finish line in faith. Eyes not seen, nor is ear heard. That which God has prepared for those of you here on this January 2nd, 2022. That which God has prepared for those of you that love him. An heir of God. Wow. What could that be? Probably even better than 37-inch tires on my Jeep. Maybe that retractable roof that I want that costs $4,000. Maybe that 66-foot boat that you showed me that cost $80 million. Eye has not seen, you've never seen it. Ear has not heard, you've never heard it. Nor has entered into the hearts of men, that is, you've never thunk it, if that's a word. That which God has prepared, remember Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. All we got to do is cross this finish line in faith. And I'm just reading another promise to you that God says you are going to inherit him and his kingdom. And some other things I bet that are more than I can wrap this walnut brain around. That's good news. He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he or she will be my son or daughter. All right, now, building on the word heir, we're in chapter 4 now. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, is no different than a slave, even though he's master of all. But he's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so, we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when, this is my favorite Christmas verse right here. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now, Abba is Hebrew for daddy. Not really father, daddy. It's a lovingly word, not an official word. It's a term of endearment, what I'm looking for. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Daddy, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. Wow, look at your status as we speak this morning. Number one, you're no longer a slave, at least a slave of sin. As we find out later, you're a slave of righteousness. But keep in mind, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Number two, you're now an adopted son or daughter of Christ, of God. Number three, you are an heir or an heiress of God. You're a joint heir with Christ. Are you starting to see your spiritual net worth here this morning? For those of you who thought you were poor today, you're not poor. You are riches. You are rich beyond belief with what matters and counts in this world. So now, with all this profound knowledge you have acquired here this morning, and that they had, the original recipients who he wrote this letter to, see, these guys and us too, we're loaded for bear now, right? How could you fall? So just a quick aside here. For those of you that say that this couldn't happen today, what I'm about to tell you. Some 10 years back, this church, Island Community Church, probably lost a third of its members to a cult. Remember, that's what Jesus calls you. As a matter of fact, Jesus calls you worse, but I crossed it off so it wouldn't sound so bad. But he'll get me later for that. He originally told me, and I wrote it down, a synagogue of Satan. But I didn't have the nerve to stand here and call it that this morning. Like I said, he'll get me later for that. Synagogue of Satan. Those Jews and proselytes who proclaim and teach that the cross isn't enough and that you're still under the law. That's a synagogue of Satan. Not making any friends this morning, am I? But why stop now, right? Now, verse 8, let's see his complaint. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those who by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. Then he says, I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored in vain. Okay, where to start? First of all, notice the change of recognition here. Paul says that, yes, now you know God, but better still, he now knows you. You see that? Now, after you have known God, verse 9, or rather, or meaning better yet, He knows you now intimately. Secondly, like I like to sing this in church often, you're going to have to serve somebody. He said that perhaps they thought they were serving God, but on the contrary, they were serving something else. And now, even now, when God knows you intimately, when your name is in the book of life, even now, after the realization of all that the Messiah has done on the cross to set them free from sin, offer them eternal life, even now, after all of that, how is it that you're turning your back on what Jesus did to the weak, as he calls it, weak and beggarly elements? That word for beggarly is just what it would sound like, a pauper. You've made yourself a pauper after all that he did on the cross. John MacArthur says, they moved away from the New Testament Christianity and they turned to Jewish rituals and festivals on the Jewish calendar. John MacArthur goes on to say, Paul warns the Galatians as he warned the Colossians against legalistically observing the Old Testament feasts as though required by God or as if they could earn favor with him by doing it. Now, verse 12, he tries to win them over. He says, brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me. You know, because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject. But you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So what then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness. I'm in verse 15. I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Verse 16, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And it's funny what the truth is that he told them. He didn't curse at them. He didn't tell them to stop sinning. He didn't tell them stop doing that. Hear me now. He became their enemy by telling the Galatians that they were free. That's how he became their enemy. He became their enemy by telling them that they were free.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Hi friends, Paul Esposito here from 91.5 FM WMIE and WWBC Radio. We are pleased to announce that our brand new apps have been released and are now available in the App Store for you to download. So search for WMIE as well as WWBC and you can hear the awesome programming on these stations 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There also is a lot of programs available on demand. Some of the local programming here you now can hear on demand from your phone or tablet. So I encourage you, download these apps, WMIE and WWBC.